Grace to you and peace from our gracious God in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners. Probably y'all do too. It's a way of life. Shall we all agree that Jesus was, shall we say, edgy? Yeah, I think he was pretty edgy. He was seen with a ragtag collection of what most would consider outsiders, outcasts, outlaws, outspokens, and maybe even outlandish. He had his 12 apostles and he had many, many, many more disciples. Shall we call them learners or students? It seems obvious now that these are the very people that Jesus wanted to reach with his gospel. These were the people that needed to hear that they were just as important to God as all of the righteous synagogue-going people of that time in proper society. The band of ragamuffins that heard this gospel that Jesus was teaching would probably not be allowed to become members in some of those synagogues or churches. On the nearest corner of their street, they would be unwanted guests. But even the most devout fill in the blank sometimes have their days of crisis and hopelessness. A leader, now other translations point this out, other translations call him a leader in the synagogue, but it doesn't really matter or who he was the leader to. The leader came directly to Jesus because he had hope that Jesus could make his daughter rise up again. You see, as he explained, his daughter had just died, and he had faith enough in Jesus and hope enough that Jesus could certainly make a difference in his situation and his daughter's situation. Now, I would have thought that Jesus would have at least told off this leader and let him know just how much Jesus, he was insulted and berated on account of his disciples at what the Pharisees had just said to them. But no, Jesus doesn't even hesitate. He gets up and follows this leader to his house. Kind of what we saw when Jesus called Matthew, the tax collector. He said, "Follow me." And you know, in fact, the reading uses the same words for both Jesus and Matthew, and he got up and followed him. No other details. On the way to the leader's house, the rescue was interrupted by some woman who had been had a bleeding problem and had suffered for 12 years. She kept telling herself, "All I have to do is touch the hem of his cloak." And in fact, if the Greek was translated more dynamically, she kept telling herself, "All I have to do is touch the hem of his cloak. All I have to do is touch the hem of his cloak and I will be made well. That's all I have to do. I just have to touch the hem of his cloak." First of all, the woman should not even be out in public. The Torah was quite specific about women's flow of blood and had certain precepts that had to be followed in those cases. Why on earth was she out in public? All those people that she touched would have been made ritually unclean. Jesus should have rebuked her and told her to go home and get well. She's been doing that for 12 years. And Jesus didn't do that. When he saw this woman who had touched his cloak, he didn't go off in a frenzy or rebuke her. He just declared her well and continued on his way, following the leader with his disciples following him. He was on his way to heal this leader's daughter. Two crises were averted in one short story in the gospel. How many other crises are there? If you're human daily, right? Do you think that there are any fewer, or do you think that there are even more crises in today's world that need intervention? I bring this up because so many news reports that don't sit well with me. One of the first ones that really is one that I remember. McKinney and Henderson offered to give Matthew Shepard a ride home. They subsequently drove to a remote rural area and proceeded to rob, pistol whip, and torture Shepard, tying him to barbed wire fence and leaving him to die. Many media reports contain the graphic account of the pistol whipping and his fractured skull and his broken body. Matthew Shepard was gay. Or a story that I remember, but I don't exactly know when or where I saw it. I think it was on TV. I was there listening to a Jewish woman who survived the Holocaust. She was speaking to a man who was gay and said how sorry she was at what happened to all of the homosexuals before the final solution. You see, the Nazis tried their solution on gay men and Romas, gypsies, before trying this out on the Jews. They wanted to see if anyone would really notice. Obviously, they were more hated even than the Jews, because nobody did notice. Having not been in the Pride Parade, which was just happened yesterday, I'm sure there's still that faction of people, you know, or have heard of them, yeah? The ones that carry the signs, God hates fags. And these are church members? Question mark. We all know the stories of our own, from our own lives, of people committing injustices in our or someone else's lives that we know. We really need to emphasize this story of crises in the lives of people that Jesus helped out where he could. It didn't matter to Jesus that this was a leader of a fill-in-the-blank, sect of fill-in-the-blank faith. He didn't get mad at the woman who should have maybe stayed home. No, Jesus was more concerned about them and ending their crises than he was about what people might think of him then or now. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." This line echoes the line that we heard from Hosea the prophet in the first reading. "I desire steadfast love and not burnt offerings or sacrifices." Steadfast love is the hesed. Actually, if you really want to know, it's chesed. I can't do that because we don't have that in our language, but chesed that we find in many places in the Hebrew scriptures. Chesed implies an obligation to the community. It implies mercy, grace, faithfulness, kindness, and mercy. The word that Jesus used implies the deeper caring, kindness, and goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted, joined with the desire to relieve them of their affliction. This is not hard to understand. It's just hard to do sometimes. These are examples of how Jesus responds in crisis moments. These are the words that Jesus used and still uses, and we should also, to stymie his detractors. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And I believe it was Jesus who said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's also in the Old Testament. And the ever popular, love your enemies. This is not hard to understand, it's just hard to do sometimes. Now, yesterday was Albuquerque's Pride Parade. I didn't get any figures on how many people were there, and I just found out there were 22 people from All Saints Lutheran Church attended that parade. How many protesters there were, et cetera, I don't really know. Thank you. There you go. But I thank God that it was almost entirely peaceful and that I had no reason to think that I would hear or see anything much on the news that would have shocked me. I also have a reason to be in solidarity with those who respect and honor the LGBTQIA+ community. I do wish they would shorten that so I can flow smoothly off the tongue. I have a nephew in my family. He just graduated from the University of Maryland, born Anne Marie Vandermatter. Anton Vandermatter is now graduated with a bachelor's in music as a vocal instructor. When people say things like, the Bible says, and they usually have one to shake in your face, right? I respond to them as, yes, but what did Jesus say about this subject? They'll probably respond, Jesus never said anything about this subject. And then I say, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. That's what Jesus said about this and many other subjects. Mercy is this way of being where you may not like how other people are, or what they might do, but you recognize the human in humanity, the me in them, and treat them not as an enemy, but as perhaps a soul in crisis. And for those people who love to hold up signs, I think we should all have one to take wherever we might be going and hold it up when we need to. And it says from James 2:13. I know James is the gospel of straw. Luther said so. I like it, so I'm using it. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It's in the Bible. And guess what? It won't be me or you or even them who will judge. Why? Because Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. Jesus will. Thank God for that. And thanks be to God.